We are joined in the media center here at Auto Club Raceway at Pomona by our funny car world champion, Ron Capps. Second straight championship, third overall, first as a team owner. An amazing season, five wins this season. It all came down to qualifying, though, where you were able to close up the points championship to just less than two rounds of racing, which factored in here today. Ron, walk us through the entire experience of winning your second back-to-back back-to-back world championship, third overall, becoming the first person to do it in 20 years. And yes, it was John Force.
Yeah, of course it was. God, the countdown was crazy. It really was. You think about the funny cars that had a chance. And really, you know, I feel so bad for Robert Height. He's such a great champion, and that whole team, to win eight races. And who would have thought somebody would win five races, or you know, but eight races and not win a championship is crazy. So it just tells you the amount of competition. But to battle back, and we didn't get down Friday, and I talked about it, that was our goal, and to come in Saturday and be over that threshold of the two rounds was crazy too. So for our guys to bounce back, I didn't have a care in the world. I knew that they were going to get down the track. You just hope anyway. And you talk about a roller coaster of emotions to go from not getting any points and losing them, then Hagen throwing down and going around us for second, to waking up Saturday morning, Guido telling me everything's going to be all right, I know what's wrong, and I go right down the track, and then to throw down low ET and gain all the points and put it under two rounds was huge. And that's the goal we had. But it's unfortunate because the final round, Guido wanted to run a little quicker in our qualifying. He was trying to run 81, which would have been phenomenal. I poked it in a little bit. The plan was to, if anything went wrong, shut it off, because we could have lost a world championship had it gone down there and crossed over the center line before the 1320. NHRA, I think, is going to change that rule. But so it was very emotional to fire the car up, and then I thought, you know what, I'm going to do a long burnout, because I don't get to do long burnouts anymore. So I did a long burnout, and T-Buck, the guy backs me up, he's run, his hat flew off. And so I'm like, Guido, I even talked to my buddy Del Worsham. I want to get an opinion from somebody that drives, and I really love Del, and I love his opinion. And he said, run it down there. If anything feels weird, just shut it off at half track. But I was like, God, how cool would it be to throw down that number and win the race and have the championship? But in a funny car, I've gotten to drive a lot of cool cars in the world. USAC Midgets, World of Outlaw Sprint Cars. There is nothing on planet Earth like a nitro funny car. It has a mind of its own, and it can make you look foolish. Look what John Force fought last few years. That's the best guy that's ever strapped on a pair of funny car boots. So you never know. And I didn't want to go down there and be the biggest idiot on planet Earth and have it go down there across center line and lose a world championship and be that close. So it was tough, and it left the starting line, and we checked with tech, and we said, okay, if it crosses the center line, you get an infraction. But I asked, what about the wall? He said, nope, it's fine. So I went down there, and I kind of made a move. I just went over by the wall, and I just said, I'm going to go until I see sparks. And I didn't see Cruz. I just saw him out of the corner of my eye at the very finish line. But it got a little closer probably than I wanted. But I think the fans deserved it. That could have been the dumbest thing ever. But I'm glad we did that. And Guido said, look, you're a professional. Run it down there. And he's obviously never driven a funny car, so he doesn't understand what goes on in those things. But can't thank Napa and Toyota, and to win a championship for all of our sponsors the first years and team owners, insane.
Let's open it up to questions from members of the media, starting off with Phil Burgess from NHRA National Dragster. Phil?
Your first championship, you know, helped legitimize you as a true funny car champion. Second one proved it wasn't a fluke. What does this third one mean as a team owner compared to those first two?
It hasn't even sunk in, Phil. Phone call from Don Perdome. He's called me every day and checked on me. He was checking on me after Friday. The amount of people I've had around us. I said in my interview with Amanda that we didn't deserve it. And I wake up that way. My wife and I wake up that way this year. And we wake up and I get in the car and drive it like we don't deserve it. We've had so many good people around us that do so many things that have made this easy. You know, I've leaned on some great people. Don Schumacher's been unbelievable. You know, Wilkerson and Force and all these people that I race against for our livelihood have checked on me and made sure that there's any way they could help me, which has been very cool. And I just didn't think this was going to happen. To win it and then go as a team owner, as the number one on the car, and then to come in here having to beat that AAA car who has phenomenal success here at this track, right? I mean, to go out there and I just, I can't, it hasn't even sunk in. So many people believed us at the top headquarters in Napa. You know, I'm not sure that, it's still crazy to me. I mean, they didn't know what I was going to do. I it blows my mind. Paul Doleschal, Toyota, for them to jump on board. You know, nobody knew if I was going to go half the year and forget how to do things. For them to stick on board with us. And just the year has been phenomenal. I keep leaning on Guido, and we just keep having to win five races. It was crazy as a new team owner. I told Guido before the final round, I go, dude, it's you and I, it's two kids. You know, we both grew up crew guys. And when I met him, he was drawing forces. I go, we're going to win a world championship together, our first year. And we feel like two kids, you know, out playing marbles in the field. I mean, it's phenomenal. We can go have fun and do this. And it's crazy. It's going to sink in pretty quick here. Man, and I got to write a speech. Oh, my God. Everybody be looking forward to that.
I can talk louder. I think yesterday you said you felt like you went to Disneyland and jumped on Space Mountain. So describe how you feel today.
Well, we talked about that run and how I should probably shut it off and not risk losing the points and losing a championship. So
how many points did you get by?
We won by three, I believe, and that would have cost us 10 had I gone down across the center line. So that's why they couldn't crown me or our team world champions after the semifinal loss. Technically, mathematically, we were, but there was that hanging out there that if I went down there and crossed the center line between 1,000 foot and a quarter mile, it would have deducted 10 points, and I would have lost it by 7.
Yeah.
Oh, 5. And okay, I would have lost it by 2. Anyhow.
How many points did you get for qualifying, top qualifying? How many points was that for?
Well, I'm not even sure. My brain's mush right now. But the point is, that ticket, that run we made, I said it was a neat ticket ride because I was just hanging on to it. When I went 383 at 337 on Saturday night. So that was part of the equation. Like Guido said, well, you're comfortable. I said, no. I step on the gas. I don't know. It feels like it could go wherever. I mean, it's scary in these funny cars. So that fed into what are you going to do? You're going to shut it off? You're going to run it down there? And so, yeah, it was another e-ticket, and I probably shouldn't have been over next to the wall. Well, a lot of things I probably shouldn't have done. But yeah.
What's next for you? You going to take some time off and take a vacation, or what do you
do?
No,
heck no. No. God, Matt Smith has won 6, right? God.
Anyway, congrats.
Yeah. You don't take time off, right?
No.
No? See? You take a vacation?
I'm going.
Yeah. Had a girl.
Hey, first off, Ron, congratulations on the championship. So you think about all the times you came here with a chance at a championship, like 05, 06, 2012, and you always came up short. How cool is it now to have the pendulum swing in your direction now, like these last couple years? And second question, you mentioned Robert Height, 8 wins this season. You won 8 races 2017, and he won the championship that year, last final day of the season. You know,
wow,
do you think
yeah.
there should be kind of some type of adjustment to the points kind of?
Yeah, I just what stands out to me is the 1 year I think we lost it by 2, and I was okay. I was, you know, bad down at the other end, but my daughter Taylor was like 12 years old back then, and she started consoling me. And she was the stronger one, and then I lost it. So, yeah, a lot of those moments down there I think made me better at being ready for what happened today, I guess. There's no retribution or anything. It's just to have a chance to come in and have even a shot at the championship, let alone to the drama that unfolded today, you know, to be part of that. And, yeah, it's just can't even imagine. I'm sitting in the car every session, and you're strapped in, and you know what's going, how big this moment is, and you're trying to enjoy it, and then you got to tell yourself, stop it. You can't enjoy it right now. You got to focus. And then you're like, oh my God, this is for everything. Against Tasca, I'm like, this is it. This is for everything that I've dreamt about. All, you know. And then you go up there and you're like, no, it's just another round. But it's not. So you have those thoughts in your head too.
Ron, congratulations on your third world championship. Go celebrate. And yes, you do have a speech tomorrow.
Yeah, thank you, man.
Ron Capps, 2022 Camping World.